Can you hear me now? Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for me. If you didn't know what that song was, that's what it was. And he played that thing. Just brought his Korean self out here, pulled out the saxophone, and started playing a old tune. Isn't God good? Hey, listen, I am so excited to be here today because this is our end of the year wrap up. We do it every year where we have a vision message in September. We tell you what the theme of the vision is for the year. And this year, you know, we always put it on a band. And this year it's Hug Prosperity from 3 John 2. And the hug stands for humility, unity, and generosity. And the more prosperous you are, the more humble you should become, the more unified you should become with others, and the more generous you should become. Unfortunately, sometimes the more prosperous people are, the less humble they become, the more isolated they become, and the more stingy they become. We didn't want that to be true about us. We wanted to hug generosity. And so now that we're at the end of the year wrap up, we want to walk you through kind of where we've been, and then we want to celebrate this moment where God is allowing us to expand our ministry. And many of you have been praying about what you're going to give for the next 18 months. And so today, after the sermon, we'll have an opportunity for you to give a first fruits offering and to give your intentions. And what that looks like is, you pick any number, but I think we need over 400 people to just commit to $270 for the next 18 months, which is like $15 a month. But you just pick any number. Let's say you choose 5,000 over the next 18 months. Then you would write on the first line, 5,000. The second line, what you're given today, let's say 500. And then what's the balance? 4,500. And that's what I would give then for the rest of the 18 months. So however you want to do it, I just want to prepare your hearts, especially for those of you who may not have been prepared when you came today. We have cards that we'll have down at the front, and you can wave at an usher later, and we'll get it to you if you're interested. Let me just really say real quickly, though, if you're not prepared, if you don't have it, listen, that's okay. I want you to put a prayer in. You know, prayer is something that actually moves our faith and grows us. And guess what? What you put in sowing in prayer, God can produce something out of that. And so don't even feel bad about it. We want everybody to just be a part of this sacred moment where we say, God, it's because of your grace that we can give whatever we have to give, even if it's a prayer. I'm going to say a word of prayer right now, and then I'm going to talk to you about where we came from, and I'm going to give you the message, now what? Last week, so what? Today, now what? Heavenly Father, as we just thank you once again for your grace and power in our life, would you please teach us from your word now, in the name of Jesus, together everyone said, amen. When I came off of my summer break last year, I did my annual Old Testament Bible character study, and we kicked off the year with a four-week study on this woman from the Old Testament by the name of Shira. She's somebody that is not easily seen because she's in one of the genealogies, but we found out that she was a businesswoman, a woman of purpose and destiny and power. And then we moved from that, gave our vision message, launched Hug Prosperity, and then we read the verse from 3 John 2, which says this, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, in that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Here's John praying for his friend Gaius, and he says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. And by the way, I pray that each of you may enjoy good health." But he goes on to say, "And that all may go well with you." The word "well" there is that word prosperity, that you would prosper even as your soul prospers, or even as your soul is getting along well. Might you be well in your soul. Might you be well spiritually. Might you prosper not only economically, not only in your health, but might you also prosper in your wealth as well. And then we kicked off a sermon series I did for several weeks. I think it was 3 weeks, but you may remember it. And there's some that we'll put up on the screen, like, "Don't hate me because I'm paid." Remember those sermons? My daddy's rich, my big brother's rich, and my inheritance is out of this world. And then we did a 6-week series called "It Is Well With My Soul." And then Minister Tracy, Pastor Angel, Tim Sims, and did a series called "Hidden: How What You Don't Know Can Hurt or Help You." Ministers Gary Coiro and Ronald Green did "Salt and Light." Then in the new year, I did "Jesus in Me." Then we had our annual guest speaker series where we had a series called Becoming Whole and Living Well with guests Richard Harris, Sung Chun Ra, Nancy Beach. Remember her message on Seasons of the Soul? And Albert Tate. Then we did a series with Pastor Dan, Pastor Mitch, Minister Sandy Pope, and myself called The Profitable Habits of a Prosperous Person. And after that, we had Easter at Merriweather. How many of you there for Easter at Merriweather? Wasn't that awesome? Unbelievable. We packed the place out with over 6,000 people on the campus there at Merriweather, along with another 2,500 open devices all around the world. And then we did a series with Dr. Barbara Williams Skinner, Reverend Scott Garber, and myself called Generous God. And we talked about the generosity of God. And who can forget Dr. John Perkins, who was here at 87 years old this coming week, June 16th. We sang happy birthday to him in one of the services, but he just kind of dropped wisdom on us, and we sat at his feet. Do you remember that? And then we closed the year out with this series, So What? What do you sow? And then now what? What happens after you sow? Friends, what I want you to know and what I want you to see is that we've been sowing into you all year long. We've done our best to pour out our hearts, to pour out our spiritual gifts, to pour out our time and our energy to bless you, to build you up, to strengthen your spiritual lives and your relational networks. We've worked throughout the week trying to teach you on Wednesday Night Alive and train you at seminars and workshops, Youth Alive and Bridge Kids and Marriage Ministry, Singles Ministry, Leverage, Men and Women's Ministries, the Care Ministry. Many of you have lost people that you love, or maybe you've been hospitalized and you needed meals. Our care ministry helped you during that time. Unfortunately, we lost one of our frontline ushers just this weekend. It was a guy who used to stand at this door every single week. His name was Mike Shaw. And Mike also served at the Home Depot. So whenever you go there, he was working at the Home Depot. White guy, white hair, great smile, good spirit. And his stomach was hurting on Friday, and they took him to the hospital, and unfortunately, it was an aneurysm. It burst, and he died. And so yesterday, we mentioned it to all of our volunteers who we had a volunteer appreciation banquet for. And you see, he was a volunteer like many of you. Our church runs because of people like you who are serving Jesus. But the scripture also teaches us that when you serve Jesus like this, the work that you do, whatever you do it as unto the Lord, not for men, but for God. And that your labor will not be in vain. And when you do that, there will be an inheritance in heaven for you and a great reward from Almighty God. I think that Mike is getting that great reward right now. Amen. Pray for his wife, Lisa, and his 19-year-old daughter and the rest of their family. But you never know when it's your last day. Sunday before, he was ushering. You just never know when it's your last day. So you want to make sure that everything you do, you're doing as unto the Lord and that you are worshiping him. And for all of you who have been using your gifts and your skills, can I just say thank you? If you volunteer in this church in any way, shape, or form, would you stand to your feet just so we can see you? We want to honor you and appreciate you and say thank you for serving us. Thank you. Thank you. If you're on the Bridgeway staff, the people who are working day in and day out, would you stand to your feet? They don't know I'm doing this, but if you're on the Bridgeway staff, just stand up. We want to thank you for those in this service. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for the great work that you do. And guess what we're going to do now? We're going to show you a video that says thank you to everybody who serves here from our staff to you. Check it out.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the wind.
So don't stop. And under the lights, when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. Ooh, it's something magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it. So don't stop that. You, when you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance.
About you, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. We've been working all year to sow into you, and it's because many of you have helped sow into others that we have produced a harvest of righteousness and a crop that will give us eternal rewards because we have built into something more than ourselves. This is Bridgeway Community Church. We are a bunch of broken, messed up, motley crew of crazy folk. But yet, because we bow to the cross where the grace of the Lord is found, he somehow picks us up, cleans us off, and somehow uses us to make a difference in our world. Is anybody glad God uses you anyway? I know I am. I know I am. And so I just want to say thank you. So then now what? Now what? Well, we've got to wait on God. We've got to watch God. We've got to keep growing, keep sowing, keep going. God has called us not simply to take the seeds of our offerings and to build them, plant them into the ground of good soil and good ministry, but he wants us then to wait to watch how he produces it. He wants us to look for him in great expectation that he's going to produce something that is awesome. But he wants us to keep sowing, and he wants us to keep growing. He wants us to keep on going. Last week, we talked from Malachi chapter 3, and I have to say that message was one of my favorite messages over the year Because we went right to the text to find out that God's promises, when we test him and literally connect to God's divine economy, when we do that, God brings blessings in our life. I'm going to use this other microphone because I'm hearing something. I don't know if you guys are hearing it or not. But let's put this one on. Thank you so much. One of the things that happens when we test God and when we connect to God's divine economy is he promised in Malachi 3 that he would pour out blessings that we wouldn't even have room to receive. That secondly, he would prevent pests from devouring what he blesses us with. And then thirdly, he would prosper us so that we would be a delightful land, so other people will be drawn to us and they will give glory to God in heaven. And then we moved over to the New Testament from the Old Testament, talking about that first fruits giving and that obedience to God by giving the tithes and the offering. But then in the New Testament, moving to 2 Corinthians 9, where we talk about faith giving and how God lifts this principle where he says it's even bigger than tithes and offerings. In fact, I own all of it, and I want you to manage and steward your part of it. And in that, what I want you to do is give with a heart that actually honors God. And in that chapter, you'll remember, we showed a graph, if you will, of what is the heartbeat and mindset of generous faith givers, and what is the heartbeat and mindset of faithless givers. Let's see if we can put that chart up on the screen. But what I want you to see is these two columns. We looked at it last week. Based on 2 Corinthians 9, what side are you on? In verse 7, it says we ought to decide these things in our heart, what we're going to give to the Lord. They were also eager to help in verse 2. They were ready to give in verse 2. They were enthusiastic in spirit in verse 2. And then in verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. They had a cheerful heart. That is what God desires of us. Now look at the other side. He said he didn't want our gifts to prove hollow, where you make a promise, but then you don't fulfill it. He didn't want his gifts to be unprepared. He's not talking about spontaneous giving because the Spirit of God touched you, but not even thinking about what you're going to give. He didn't want giving to be grudging or reluctant or under compulsion where you felt like you had to give just because you were feeling guilty. That's not what God was talking about. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he gives us this principle. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So we learned last week about sowing. And this principle of this week builds on that, where we realize that when we sow, we also grow. In fact, if you don't sow, you won't grow. You can't grow a seed if you don't plant it. And if you don't plant your resources in the body of Christ, it may not even be good soil that you're planting in. What God wants you to do is to connect to his divine economy. Because when you connect to his divine economy, then you begin to see God's growth in your life. Because it takes faith to actually take your money and put it into God's divine economy, connecting with God and putting it into the advancement of God's kingdom. And we do this because not only do we want to give, but we want to grow. And if we don't give, we can't grow. You see, you can't grow spiritually and grow stingy at the same time. If you want to grow spiritually, then God will work the stinginess out of your life. If you want to grow spiritually, then God will work the materialism out of your life. If you want to grow spiritually, then God will have to work the greed out of your life and in my life. Because what happens is greed takes a hold of us, materialism takes a hold of our flesh, and what happens is we become the kind of people who want to hold on to stuff and want to gain more stuff. And the only way to put a dagger in the heart of that green monster called greed is by giving it away. We can't complain about a broken world if we're not investing in the very ministries that God has raised up to help minister to that world. Some of us curse the darkness all day long, but we don't even invest in the very light that God has created on the earth called his church. We are the answer to many of the prayers of the people on the earth, and God wants to use his church to do so. And think about it, friends. We got a lot of greed and materialism going on. I'm talking about in my own flesh. And the reality is God wants to work some of that out of us. Not so we feel guilty about having good things, But if we're not careful, we actually go overboard and we have more than we ever need. And what God is trying to say is, listen, why do we need so much? Is it possible that God is using the process of us praying about what we're going to give to help shed some of this fear that we have? Fear that if we get rid of something, then we may not actually have it when we need it. Fear that if we don't stock up, then the day's going to come and we're not going to be cared for. And so I want you to understand that sometimes what's driving this is not good stewardship. Sometimes what's driving it is fear. And God wants to root out fear and greed and materialism in all of our lives. And what happens is when you start giving to the Lord, he starts growing you. Let me take you now to the passage that's the chapter right before last week's chapter. Last week's chapter was 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is the chapter that builds it up to chapter 9 that we preached from last week, where it says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And if you sow generously, you'll reap generously. Well, we'll find out in verses 1 through 15 that giving grows you. In fact, giving grows your understanding of five things. Here's the first one found in verses 1 through 4, and the key verse is verse 4. Number one, giving grows your understanding of gratitude. Notice what it says. And now, brothers, sisters included, we want you to know about the grace of God. Notice the grace is mentioned. About the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in riches and rich generosity. Did you notice that? Out of their severe trial, they had this overflowing joy. Why is it that you can go through trials and come out with overflowing joy? Because God can use trials to squeeze joy out of your life. And then for the Macedonian churches, he says, out of their extreme poverty, there was the richness of generosity that welled up. How does that happen? Some of you are much more traveled than I am, but for those of you who have traveled around the world and you've gone to places where there are very poor people, if some of you have been in some of these places, have you ever been in a place where people were so extremely poor? It says out of their extreme poverty, welled up riches of generosity. These are some of the most generous people you'll ever see. And these are some of the most joyful people you'll ever see. Why is it that you can have folk that have a lot of money, who have a lot of materialism, they're still not happy, they're greedy, they're stressed, they're anxious, and some of them are just downright mean? How does that happen? But then you'll go to places where there's extreme poverty and people will have this joy and this generosity about them. I remember one time when a group of us went to Ethiopia. We would go into small little houses, and I remember one of the kids that we were sponsoring went into the house with his mom, and you could barely fit into the structure that we were in. And they were feeding us, and it took their poverty to produce blessing the man of God. They fed us popcorn and coffee. You know, coffee's big in Ethiopia, and the coffee ceremonies. And we sat in this little place, and they would feed us their popcorn. Can I tell you something? That was as good, if not better, than a Ruth's Chris steak. And you know I'm saying something when I say that. Because you knew that it was out of their poverty that they had worked to give you that popcorn. And we sat and we ate every kernel. And can I just tell you something? Every kernel was popped with love, was popped with grace, with joy. They felt so good to feed us their popcorn and to share with us their coffee with joy and generosity. I don't know how much it cost them, but I know it cost them to bless us. And so that's one of the things we get when we become generous and give to God. It grows our gratitude. Notice what it says in verse 4. It actually says, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. The privilege. When something's a privilege to do, that's because you have gratitude in your heart. When someone says, thanks for doing this, you say, it's my privilege. Why? Because that's gratitude to be able to do it. It helps you understand gratitude. But secondly, it helps you understand grace. We find it in verse 7, but let's read verses 5 through 7. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, his fellow servant, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace. We found grace in verse 1. Now we find grace again in verse 6. So they're saying that their giving is also not only an act of gratitude and privilege, but it's also an act of grace. Goes on in verse 7 to say, but just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech, knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel, third time, in this grace of giving. In other words, giving grows your understanding of grace. Grace is mentioned three times there. He says, listen, you guys have really done great in your growth. I mean, remember 1 Corinthians? They were a church known for their carnality and for their fleshliness, and they had to deal with that. But now he's writing 2 Corinthians, and he's commending them that they're actually growing. They're excelling. That's the beautiful thing. When people can see you for how you've grown. You see, when you grow, when you sow, you grow, and over time, you show. People will see that you are growing. Now, there's some people who can't see this. Some people are still stuck in what you used to do and what you used to be. And they don't let you forget who you were. And that's hard sometimes because you know that you've grown. You know that you're a bit different. But they cannot necessarily agree with that because they're stuck in an old mindset. You can't let those kind of people stop you from moving on to what God's called you to do. You got a 2 Corinthians future in your life. You used to live in 1 Corinthians, but now you've moved to 2 Corinthians. He said that now you're excelling in your faith, in your speech, in your knowledge, and in your love. You're actually growing and you're looking pretty good to me. He says, now what I want you to do is excel in your grace of giving. Exercise the muscle of giving. I've noted several ways where you have grown, but here's another area where you can grow more because he knows that when you excel in your giving, you also grow spiritually. And so we learn that giving grows you by understanding more gratitude, by understanding grace. But if you keep going, the third thing is love. We find it in verses 8 and 9. Notice what it says. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Well, who is he comparing it to? Verse 9. For you know the grace, the fourth time it's mentioned, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. In other words, God loves us so much that he came into our poverty, being the biggest, ultimate gracist of them all, coming to another race and lifting them up. That's what a gracist is. A gracist goes to help people and lifts them up. And Jesus is the ultimate gracist. And Paul is now comparing them, saying, we want you to be giving with lots of grace, just like Jesus is. He came from his riches, he became poor to identify with us and then lifts us up out of our poverty of spirit and of living and of faith to grow us so we can be all that he wants us to be. What a God. And this giving, when you give to God, it actually grows your understanding of love and the sincerity of how to love people. How can you say you love someone, but then when they need bread, you don't give it to them? How can you say, my brothers in 1 John, that you love someone, but you don't do any actions to actually help them? You just say, well, I'll pray for you, and you let them go. That's not love. The kind of love that he's talking about is a sincere love that grows you because you are going to give of yourself to help someone else. Giving grows you. It grows your love, but fourthly, it grows your commitment. Verses 10 through 12, the key verse will be found in 11. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Key verse. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to the one according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. In other words, if you make a commitment, even today, keep it. And if you are willing to give a gift, complete it. what you begin, finish to the best of your ability. And God will bless you because God is looking, listen, not just at your gift, but at your intent. And so he says, based on your intent, go ahead and complete it. And that's what commitment is. That's the bottom line of this verse in verse 11. Complete what you begin, finish what you start. Here's the fifth and the final thing that I'd like you to see about how giving grows you. Giving grows you in understanding equality. Now, some of us think equality is a social or political term, but it's actually found here in the scriptures. Check out verses 13 through 15 in case you've never seen it before. It's mentioned twice. Listen to what it says. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be, what? Equality. Verse 14, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be what? Equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Do you see what happens here? The church is used by God as a tool of equality. The church is used in God's divine economy to show that we can balance the scales so that those who have too much can help those who have too little. In God's divine economy, he uses his church as an equalizer. And those who have more, more is required. And to those who are given much, much is expected. You shouldn't have too much, nor should you have too little. Remember what the wise man said at the end of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 30, where he said this, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. Now, we know that all poor people don't steal, nor all rich people disown God. But the point of the prayer in Proverbs 30 is that he was praying for balance because he knew himself. Do you know yourself? Because the reality is some of us are still stuck with the green-eyed monster of greed. This is why when the people of Israel complaining in the desert with Moses, they were complaining about not having food, and then God delivered food to them by having manna drop from the sky. And they looked up and they said, what is that? And Moses says, that's bread from God, bread from heaven. And then he tells everybody, make sure you gather up whatever you can use. But remember, it's going to sour by tomorrow, so only take what you can use. You can take as much as you want, but only take what you can use because tomorrow it's going to sour. Don't take somebody else's portion and then it's going to sour tomorrow. So you take what you need for your family and then you take what you need for your family. God is giving us our daily bread. And remember what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Did you know there was a day when there were no refrigerators and electricity? Did you know that? There was a day when you didn't have stored up food that lasts for weeks. There was a day that you would hunt, kill, gather, eat, and then you would do it all over again. Here is God providing for them their daily bread. But you see, many of us don't know how to live with daily bread because we still have bread that's old from 2 weeks ago. We have storage and we have refrigerators. Listen, praise God for the bounty, but don't get it twisted. Some of you have food in your refrigerator that's literally dead. It's dead, it's dying, it smells. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand, have to clean your refrigerator out because you have too much stuff? How many of you have cupboards filled with soup that's been there 10 years in cans? 10 years. Why? Why do you have it? Because you're thinking that one day I might be without, so therefore I need it. But while you're thinking about this one day that I might be without and that I might need it 10 years from now, there's somebody down the street that's starving and could use it right now. But because of your fear of the future, you're going to stock up way beyond what you need. Some of y'all have too much food in your cupboards, too much food in your fridge. How many of you actually clean your fridge out once a week or twice a week? And the reason why you clean it out is because you have too much. Look, there are folk that have way too much furniture. Some of y'all have sheds with stuff filled in there. You don't even know what's in there anymore. garages full of stuff, and you don't even know what's in there anymore. There are people in this room, I know it, and those of you watching online, who actually have storage containers that you're actually paying money per month for stuff you haven't even seen in 5 years. Why? Because you're afraid that one day it's going to be gone when you need it. Newsflash, when you need it, buy more. There's someone that can sit on that couch right now. And you're paying for it. Think about it. You're paying to store something when you could be less money out of your pocket to pay for it while somebody else has the joy of using what you have too much of. God is saying the church is supposed to be the tool that God uses to help a brother out. Some of y'all have way too much clothes in your closet. Can I ask you a question? Why do you have so much clothes that you can't even wear anymore? Can I get an amen? Amen. Why you still got the clothes if they're there and you can't fit them anymore? Why? Come on, you know why. Because you believe that one day you ain't been that way in 5 years. Stop getting it twisted. You're not getting back into it. And by the time you get back into it, it's going to be out of style. Why let it sit in the closet for 5 years when somebody else doesn't even have a dress or a pair of pants to wear today? How about you bless somebody else that needs it instead of having the hoarding mentality of a person who is materialistic and greedy? Trust that the God of your daily bread will give you the money to buy some new threads when you get to that weight. God can bless you with new stuff for your new weight. I just blessed somebody with that word right there. Somebody said, I got a word from the pastor today. God gonna give me some new threads. If that helps you break loose of this mentality of hoarding and materialism, then God bless you. Take that as your word today. Listen, did I give you all five? I gave you all five, right? So there's nothing else but practical application. All right, get your wallets out. I didn't get one amen. I just got like a chuckle here or there. Did you notice that? Before a close, get your wallets out. I mean, look. Okay, look. This, I love it. Look, this is your practical application. We're going to give in worship. The worship team is going to come out now. Usher's going to come out and they're going to put some things down front. If you need one of those cards to fill out, wave to a, you know, wave to a an usher. But when we do this, they're going to sing. Look, they're going to sing a song I love and I know you love too. It's called Speechless. Hear the words, unmerited favor is mine, unending but always, unfailing but never unkind, undeserving. Oh, but I receive your grace, Lord, your grace. Oh, I need it, I receive it. I'm amazed, so amazed. When I see it, I am speechless. You take my breath away. This offering is only about God's grace. How many of you plan to give something in this offering right now? Just wave to me. Okay, for those of you who are waving to me, can I tell you something? The only reason you're going to be able to come up here and give anything is because of God's grace. That's it. Not because you're better than the person in front of you or behind you. If you're able to give anything, any intent, that's because of God's grace. His powerful, amazing grace. So I want this to be a sacred time when as we're worshiping and as we're singing. Bring them up to the altar. Bring those baskets up. As we're singing, I want you to just excuse yourself from your row and say, excuse me, neighbor, and come down. And I want you to put in whatever it is you intend to give for the next 18 months or you intend to give today. And I want you to take, we have these baskets as you know, these challenge coins, if anybody's been in the military, you get these challenge coins. This coin says 2020 vision on one side, generosity initiative. And on the other side, Bridgeway, 25 years with our mission, building into one another as we build bridges to our community. I'm going to keep this in my pocket. It's going to remind me not of what I've given, but of the grace that God has given to me in my life. So let's all stand up together and don't leave, because after this, I'm going to come back with an amazing opportunity to pray over you and to close out with a story before I go to the lobby to greet you.
Baby.